Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
God bless you, Dave Solomon. Woohoo! November 15th. Yes! We are in the middle of November, if you can believe it. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but although it's been said that this year has gone by quickly, it just seems as though the holiday season has gone even more quickly. I mean, we had Halloween in a flash. It could have been because of the election, because so many people were looking forward to that in anticipation, and then all of a sudden, it's over, and we're well into November. So, maybe that's the theory. I'm not sure. But in any case, hopefully wherever you are today, things are fabulous. It is a chilly day in Baltimore, but I think we're going to warm things up next hour. Scheduled to visit with us is an incredible guitarist from Australia. That's his adopted country. He actually has roots in Morocco, moved to Israel, and then France, and then Australia. Albert is his name. He's coming to our region very soon, and you're going to really enjoy what you hear. Woo! So much to tell you. We didn't have a show on Tuesday. We'll make up for it today. And we're starting things off with a classic, as usual, Herbie Hancock from 1963. This is called Succotash.
Thank you.
russet brandy in a dining glass. Everything is made from jeans. Time is made from honey, slow and sweet. Only the fools know what it means. Temptation. Temptation. Well, I know that he is made of smoke, but I've lost my way. He knows that I am broke, but I must pay him. Temptation. Temptation. Temptation.
Oh, gracious, gracious, yes. Woohoo! Diana Krall and Temptation. From the early 2000s, 2003, 2004. From The Girl in the Other Room, with some originals written by Diana with some help from her husband, Elvis Costello. Diana would tell him stories, and Elvis would translate what he heard into songs. So that was a pretty cool arrangement. I think they're still doing that. Oh, Temptation, the name of that song, written by Tom Waits, by the way. And on that particular track, Neil Larson on the Hammond, also Terry Lynn Carrington on drums, and Christian McBride on bass. Pretty cool stuff. Diana's got Glad Rag Doll, her new project, out, and she is touring. Matter of fact, today in Poland at a place that I could not pronounce to save my life. And then she's going on further into Europe. And then she is spending Christmas chilling with the family, the twins, Elvis, extended family. And in February, she's going to be touring in her home country of Canada. A little British Columbia action. She's going to be really happy. She's a happy gal anyway these days. Good for her. And it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Diana. It's good to see that she's doing well. For a little while, I was concerned about her. Because, and a lot of people were when the girl in the other room came to light, because they didn't quite understand the metamorphosis she was undergoing. We had thought of Diana as this person who was rooted in traditional jazz, and she has taken some dips and weaves in the road. And I think that she's cool right now. Apart from the album cover, which took me aback, if you go to her website, you'll see what I mean. But she had the inspiration for Glad Ragdoll by remembering what it was like when she was dipping into her dad's LPs and seeing the good stuff. So she's turned that around and has reinvigorated some standards. You'll see for yourself. Get a hold of the Diana Krall songbook. All of those CDs through the years, and see what I mean by taking little detours here and there. And now she's back. Chelsea Green, we heard from Groove Ready. The Chelsea Green little entourage that she has on Still Green is so awesome. This gal on violin, Chelsea, is a performer, an educator, and arranger. She is a young woman, and she has the world at her feet. She can do any kind of music and transform the original feel that you felt on that song and make it into something else because of the magic she weaves. Amazing. Chelsey, chelseygreen.com. I'm going to go there right now. I'm going to go to Chelsea Green. I think that you'll hear music when I go there. I just am so smitten with her and what she's doing. And she's doing something really extraordinary. This coming Saturday, the 17th, she will be part of this beautiful collective. And when you go to chelseygreen.com, speaking of beautiful, the website is truly delicious. It's Chelsea playing the violin. And you have a space to enter here, which is what we're doing. We're doing that now, waiting for chelseygreen.com. She is going to be part of the second annual Celebration of Life at the Murphy Fine Arts Center. And this is a way to gather cancer survivors and awareness of cancer and how the toll has been taken, but not the negation part, the positive aspects about surviving cancer. And I know one of those cancer survivors that's going to be there. You'll hear her a little bit later on in the show. Corinthia Cromwell, my friend Chrissy, who has survived cancer twice. On that bill as well is going to be an astounding vocalist, Geneva Renee, and another astounding vocalist who has toured with The Color Purple, Khadija One, who is going to be the host of the show. And I'm seeing the website now for Chelsea Green, and the EP of Still Green, I'm seeing, is making its mark nationwide, and there's a way for you to get a hold of this. Just a fabulous little collection of songs on CD Baby, or you can go to Amazon, or you can go to, iTunes. Yep, and you can take it from there. Chelsea Green, and we also heard at the top of the hour, not that he is ever an also, but Herbie Hancock and his masterful succotash from Inventions and Dimensions, the third album of Herbie's on Blue Note, re-released in the mid-70s as Succotash. Paul Chambers on bass, Willie Bobo on drums and timbales, and Osvaldo Chihuahua Martinez on percussion. 1963, he recorded that in August of that year, and it just sounds as contemporary as can be when you play that thing. We're going to hear, if time permits, another Herbie track. He is going to stay to the background of this track because I'm really anxious to dip into the Imagine Project from 2 years ago. So you can hear a song that once you hear it, it stays in your head for days and days, weeks and weeks, and you'll hear what I mean. We've got a brand new track, and we're focusing on guitar in this particular set because of our guest at the top of next hour. Albert is coming up, and let me tell you, having just been introduced to him by Sandy Asservatham, who is a musical friend on Facebook who knows talent when she hears it because she's an artist herself, then Sandy reacquainted me with a lovely gal who is also a friend on Facebook who is overseeing what Albert is doing in this country, and that would be Paula Phillips. So thank you, Paula and Sandy. Albert is a person who has a global vision of jazz because he's lived in so many places, and he has a particular way of getting to you. These next three artists that you'll hear all have different styles, but the way that they're fused together here, you'll just have a renewed appreciation of guitar. This first song is out of the box new. As a matter of fact, this is part of a dual single release that's going to be happening tomorrow. But we got our hands on it early because David P. Stevens is my Philly homeboy. And I have just loved him for a minute, and he knows it. I'm so excited about this particular track because David got a hold of a mutual pal, Gerald Albright. So Gerald's playing sax. This is called Just Like That. It's from the forthcoming CD called Epiphany that's going to be released in 2013. Get ready for you to be jumping out of your chair. All right? David P. Stevens with Gerald Albright, Just Like That, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. my, that song. Woo! For those of us who love the song, we really love it. And it must have a special sort of association. It does for me, and it's this is not supposed to bum anybody out, but when I heard the song in the mid-80s, I was so in love with someone that nothing else mattered, and this song would just stop time. And the words were so powerful, so simple but so powerful, and George just sang it with conviction. And the man that I loved is no longer here, God bless him. He passed away at the age of 50, and it was one of those situations where he didn't see it coming, and neither did anybody else around him. And it doesn't make me sad. It just brings me back to that place where it was so happy, and you know how you feel so alive when you see somebody? It makes your world make sense. Oh, such a beautiful song from 2020, George Benson, I Just Want to Hang Around You. Certified gold, no wonder, that song alone. But also on the album was that track with Roberta Flack, You Are the Love of My Life. Do you remember that? Oh, that was such a song. Herbie Mann with Dwayne Allman right before that. Push, from 1971. Herbie Mann was a trip. Listen, Herbert J. Solomon loved to push the envelope, that is for sure. He passed away in 2003, and Dwayne Allman passed away later on that year, 1971, that is. Herbie Mann had a lot of naysayers, and people didn't appreciate necessarily what he would try to do to incorporate jazz into other forms. But here's a couple of things about Herbie. In 1959, he went to a State Department tour of Africa, and he came up with flutism, Afro-Cuban vibes, and one of the first people to do that. Then in 1961, he went to Brazil, and he got together with Antonio Carlos Jobim and others, and he was one of those folks who brought attention to Brazilian music. So as much as people can take away from him if they try to do that, as far as, the purism of jazz, whatever, he was able to bring jazz to a lot more people that wouldn't have listened otherwise. And a lot of people have endured that same experience, haven't they? Yeah. Herbie Mann, Dwayne Allman. And I told you this was going to be a guitar set, right? We heard David P. Stevens. Wasn't that some kind of artistry? Keeping it contemporary. Brand new. Yes. Along with Gerald Albright, the song was called Just Like That, from a new album that's going to be released in 2013 called Epiphany. If you go to David Stevens, and that's Stevens with a V, davidstevensmusic.com, brand new website, retooled. You'll see a whole lot more about a Philly guy that I've had my eye on for a while. You've heard me play David and Carol Riddick. Love is back in style. Love is still in style. Oh, my God, that song is so phenomenal. Well, David has a whole lot more work that you're going to want to get your hands on. And speaking of guitars, in just a moment's time, well, less than 15 minutes, okay, we're going to be hearing from Al Bear. And I wanted to play a particular track that will lead up to an Al Bear song. And this track is by another flute player, Cherokee, and very proud of those roots. Ron Warren is going to be part of the first annual Native American Lifelines powwow this Saturday in Middle River. Very excited about that. This is from Ron Warren and Janice Torres' CD as Aura Seri. This is Oak Revisited on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. A little Native American flute and jazz combined.
Thank you.
Of jazz is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Oh, especially when you've got capable fingers like that. I'm looking at this CD now, and what it says is Albert ITD, which stands for International Travel Diary. What you just heard from this brand new project, which has just fueled my soul for the past few weeks, was Eagle's Way, one of my favorite tracks. And on the line with me, I am so impressed and so glad to be spending a little time, however long he can give to me, with this man who is so well known in Australia, but has not only lived in Australia, but when he has lived there, has he created a buzz. Not only a very successful businessman, impresario, innovator, especially when it comes to acid jazz, and consummate guitar player. This is Albert. Albert, welcome.
Hello, Trish. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, it's such a pleasure to have you. I'm so tickled to have found out about you. Thank you to everybody involved.
Well, it's a pleasure, and all the pleasure is mine, actually.
Oh, listen.
It's amazing for me to come here and to find that some people like my music. It's great. It's a good feeling.
I'll bet it is. And it's not something, Albert, that you necessarily have to do because you are so successful in your endeavors in Australia, but you are so led to play guitar. Why is it that I love the CD. I love Long Way. There's such one fascinating track after another. But why is it that you're so consumed with playing guitar and touring and go to places that you've never been?
Well, first of all, music is what I do. That's my first love. And I was going to say my only love, but that's not true. I can't say that. But it is my first love. And it's really something that I absolutely enjoy. And everything else I do, it's accessory. I can't imagine not doing this. I've been doing this since I'm a child. And it's always been like that. I can't understand it otherwise.
Well, when you put it in terms like that, especially if you've been playing since you were a child, it becomes a second nature, a second skin to you. And you've lived in so many places. I'm fascinated by that because you started out, as far as memory serves me, in Morocco, which is your land of origin, correct?
When you say I started out, you mean I was born?
Yes.
I was born in Morocco, yeah. And I grew up there until I was 5. And then my parents moved to Israel, and they stayed there until I was 10. And then they moved to France. And so I stayed there, and we stayed there until I was 27. In France, I met the love of my life, and that's my wife. And she's Australian. And she stayed with me for 4 years, but then after 4 years, she convinced me to move to Australia. And that's how I found myself over there. And I've been living there for quite a while, as you know.
I know. And you've made such inroads. You are quite the entrepreneur. You really made it a point to just take over. I mean, they must love you in Australia because you've opened so many doors for jazz artists. You became director of the Melbourne Jazz Festival. How did that come to be, Albert?
Well, it was a festival that was about Brock in year 2000. And when it was about Brock, the municipality was trying to put together a team to rescue it. And they asked me to join that committee, and I took over as the chairman. And I put some energies behind it. And the festival at the time had like 5,000 people a year going to it. It lasted for 10 days. We kept the format, and we made a few things a bit better. And by the time I left the festival in 2008, the festival was accommodating about 110,000 people during those 10 days. And and now it's well over 200,000. So it has really grown. And of those 8 years, 7 years that I was involved, 4 of those years I was involved in the artistic side. 1 year when I brought over the Umbria Jazz from Umbria with Carlo Pagnotta in 2005. And the next 3 years, I did the programmation myself, and that's basically it. Was a way for me to contribute to the life of the city, of course to the jazz. But there's another thing that I've done for the jazz musicians of Australia is to create the Australian Jazz Awards. We had no award recognition system at all in Australia. And so that started in 2003, and it's grown quite strongly. And we're on our 11th year now. It's a moment for all jazz musicians in Australia to celebrate.
And because of the work that you've done for so many jazz musicians in Australia, you were given something very special, an Order of Australia Award for your service. You must feel like King of the Hill sometimes. How blessed are you?
Not exactly. But it was nice to get a recognition. That was back in 2009. And that was actually for the work I did in 2005 in bringing the Ubrian jazz. So it was, it's always nice to have an accolade. And that's certainly an accolade that the jazz community gave me. So that was nice.
And let me ask you something, because I've been thinking about this. I love the idea. This show is all about expanding people's horizons as far as what their perceptions are of jazz, because my association for a lot of people had been in the smooth jazz realm, having worked at a smooth jazz radio station, now no longer in existence. I don't want that association. I want this show to be all about the length and breadth and both domestic and global interpretation, all of it. If it sounds like jazz, it is. And you come from this background where you have lived in a couple of amazing places. And surely when you have lived there, all of the music that you heard in each of these countries poured into your ears and into your soul, so you can't help but show that kind of interpretation when you play guitar. Do you think that the huge success that you brought to Australia as far as becoming the director of the Jazz Festival in Melbourne there, do you think it's because you hear so much in your head, Albert, your vision goes beyond what was normally heard in Australia?
Perhaps where I started was in the acid jazz. So I didn't start exactly, and actually that was in Australia. I started with acid jazz when I was living in France. It was very much the fusion years.
Yeah.
So I never been a classical jazz guitarist. I never done stuff like bebop in my own work. Of course, I studied it, but I never interpreted it in my own work. So I always try to be contemporary, and when I say I try to be, I think I am. I use the sounds of today. I'm respectful of the traditions, but I really look forward. And maybe in doing so, I participate in creating new traditions.
Yes.
But I think that's one of the important thing in programming a jazz festival is to always include the sounds that are contemporary. It's always nice to acknowledge the tradition, but it's always important also to include the young. And in doing so, therefore, you renew your energies. And,
yes.
And you can continue to grow. And I think we can learn from the master, and that's Miles Davis. Just look at his career and the number of times he reinvented himself and kept on growing. I mean, that's a lesson of life, and it's a lesson for all jazz musicians.
And I don't know how you would find it, actually, because your roots are not American roots. So it would be different to ask this question of somebody who was raised in the United States. But you have had comparisons made of your work to that of Wes Montgomery and George Benson. How do you what were your influences growing up, and what was it that made you say, you know what, I feel that particular person's art? Was it Miles Davis, or was it somebody else when you were a little guy trying to find your way?
Well, it started with people like Jimi Hendrix and Django Reinhardt and you know, in the all the French gypsy jazz. That was the American jazz sound came a little bit later for me in terms of studying it, although my parents played Frank Sinatra since I was born. But I don't know if that's what got me into jazz, but because they played a lot of opera, and I hate opera, sorry to say. So it's not necessarily follows that what your parents play is what you like. But really, the jazz has always been a second nature to me. And you know, even though I understand and I hear you say that I'm not American and therefore I've been influenced perhaps by just listening to guys like Wes Montgomery or George Benson, but the reality is the music that I do. The Americans have done such a great job when it comes to disseminating that culture, because that culture is a world phenomena. It's not just American. It's global. Jazz is global. Jazz. You go to China and they love jazz today. You go to Russia, they love jazz. You go to the Eastern countries, they love jazz. You go to Africa, they listen to jazz. The world listens to jazz. What I find an interesting equation that you have in America is that you have a culture of jazz, that's your culture, and now the world has adopted it, so it continues an evolution on a world scale. But you also have this culture where everything has to stand on its own, and therefore nothing should be helped by our government. And we in Australia or in Europe, we cannot have a festival without the support of a government and philanthropy. And here in the United States, I noticed that you don't have that. And that's because it goes against your culture, where you cannot have government help, sort of thing. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I probably am not the absolute correct person to respond to that. But I think that you are going to see some things change culturally and economically. And the associations that one may have never seen heretofore, as far as different kinds of festivals or music or art endeavors that have not been with a government association, now you might see them. There is a growing trend out there in this country, and I don't know what it's like where you have lived. But we are always talking in private conversations or publicly about the need to reintroduce our children to music education. It's not just important, it's crucial. So I think that now with the reelection of President Obama, I think that this whole new door is going to be open to not only suggestion but to implementation. Because we as citizens of the world, and I consider myself to be a globalist, we as people who need to live with one another in this world and not just tolerate but embrace every culture, we need to have music as our peaceful oasis as we go forward. You learned when you were little to play, and how much of that has been a sanctuary for you through the years?
Oh, absolutely. But I think it depends on it's on a state by state here, because I have a brother who immigrated to the United States when I left and immigrated to Australia, and his kids were born here and raised here, and they're all jazz musicians. They live in California, and they all learn through the school system, the public school system. So I think it's not all bad, you certainly have a culture in here that needs to be fostered and enhanced, and as you said, hopefully with the re-election of President Obama, your festivals will benefit as well.
Yes.
Because, you know, in the festival, it's so important to embrace the new. And that's what we do in Australia. That's how I've been able to grow a festival from a small attendance to a very large one, is because we've been not just looking for what's commercial. We've been looking also at the innovation, and that's the important part that a festival has to play. And unless you've got this, then you only give the stage to the same people year after year, or
that's
the
right.
same gender, and it does not grow. So at some point, you've got stagnation, and as you know, stagnation is death.
You are absolutely correct, and that is another source of conversation. You know what? You've just... you registered something in me. One of the folks that you need to have a relationship with, I think that you and Lee Ritenour would have so much to discuss, because Lee has a new project out as well. He's been on the scene for so long with his guitar mastery, but Lee feels as though he has done this for so long that he wants to keep giving back. And one of the things he has done now, Albert, is to make sure that kids feel fabulous about themselves. He has these competitions now, and on his website there's more information. But we just had him on the other radio show that I do, Cool Jazz Conversations, and he was talking about his winners. He feels so alike in what you have just said about these up-and-comers really need to have a voice. We need to constantly fuel our energies into what is happening with young people. And they, in turn, need the inspiration to get the fuel. So we have to keep on fostering them as far as what they hear in school at a very young age, what kind of music education, and what kind of music education do they have in Australia? Do you know?
I certainly do. I'm an adjunct professor at Monash University.
There you go.
So we've got quite an interesting program for jazz. We've got about 300 jazz students, and that's growing very strong. We're about to start building a new building for the School of Music with an American architect from Boston, Moshe Safdie, and that's going to take the whole program to a different level. I think that it's going to become the beacon of Asia that in that part of the world.
Wonderful.
But I mean, from the American perspective, of course, you've got very strong School of Music, in particularly in jazz. I don't need to name them. You
yes.
know them all. So you've got a very strong program. What we do in Australia, what I did with my band, with the ITD band, when I assembled them in June, like Antonio Sanchez, Leo Genovese, Henrik Merkens, I mean, everyone that plays in this album, we went to tour the indigenous areas around the Alice Springs. And so we played to the youngsters. And, you know, I'm a Gibson endorsee, so they gave me some guitars to give to the young indigenous over there.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a very nice thing. We found some burgeoning musicians that we like to encourage. And we're speaking about a project like this in America with Leo Genovese to go around the indigenous communities in South America and even here in the United States. So that is something that I'm serious about pursuing. And if you want to put me in touch with Lee, of course, that would be with pleasure.
Oh, that's great.
Him.
That would be great, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure I reach out to him and get you two hooked up. And, you know, you raise a good point, and I won't belabor this, but it's really important to note as we make this transition and not just maybe speaking for the United States, but for different parts of the world that can relate to this. We have some wonderful secondary schools in the United States. Berkeley comes to mind. That's the first one I think of because so many people I know have gone to Berkeley in Massachusetts. But in order to go to a college, you really have to have the hunger in order to pursue music. And that's my concern with children, small children who are able to be introduced to an instrument at a young age. The years foster the hunger and the desire to learn more and more, and then to find out from masters who are your teachers which is the way to go to pursue your music. How is it that you came up, Albert? What are the channels that you followed in order to find yourself in this career that you have?
I'm very much perhaps the exception. I don't know if I'm the exception, but I'm a self-motivated person. So I find the energy is very much internally. I'm very driven. So and when I put my mind in something, I need to go to the end of it. And that's how it works with me. So with the guitar, I mean, it's been something that I've been doing since I'm 8 years old, and of course, at the time when I was eight, there was no TV, there was no internet, and so we could play soccer in the street, and I had a guitar, so it was my place to escape and to dream. So the guys today, they've got many more distractions, and
I see
it with my kids. It's a lot more difficult to get them to focus and to play the piano or whatever instrument because there's so much else happening in their minds. You know, they want to talk on their mobile phones and connect to Facebook and do all the stuff that takes so much of their time, which we had all this time was spare. And so, of course, we could put it into an endeavor you never knew that you were going to do anything with that endeavor, but you were pursuing it just for the sake of it. And why not? It was fun. It's still fun for me because whenever I play the music, I don't expect anything. I just like sharing my music, of course, but it just happens.
You have just spoken such wisdom. You really have. And what it all boils down to is that it's not such a benefit 24 hours a day to have so many choices in our life. Those choices sometimes, frequently actually, get in the way. And you're right. How do you possibly entice a particular young person with so much on their agenda that they can choose from to go away where there's quiet and to create music when they have tools at their disposal that are artificial means of creating music, but it's not that the way that we learned when we were kids? That's really a powerful statement that you've just made. It really is.
Okay, but you know, the choice that you're talking about, it's actually, the choice is the enemy most of the time. Because if you play chess, for instance, and that's something I've played since even before the guitar, since I'm 6 years old, and one of the strategies in chess to trick your opponent is to give him some choices. The more choices you give him, and the more possibilities for him to make a mistake. And so all the choices that are in front of you really trick you. So it's the idea of choice is a consumer idea. It comes from consumerism, and it's not necessarily good for kids. Kids need to be guided, and you know, I'm not sure I've done such a good job as a father myself, so I can't talk. But it seems to me that when I look backwards, And it's always easier to look backward than looking forward, of course, because there's the choices are much less in the past than they are when you look towards the future. But it seems to me that guidance is absolutely essential.
Oh, you're absolutely true. I've learned that with my 20-year-old son, and look back. You probably do this with your kids too. Look back and think to yourself, "Oh my gosh, that's my child," mm-hmm. and you realize what is there in that child that has taken root that you have either specifically taught the child or just by example, and you see them become these young people that you can honestly see as they will be as adults. And it's just an absolute source of wonder. People who aren't parents don't get that, but you don't necessarily know when you're going through being the parent, but when they reach a certain age, you realize how much you have shaped them to be the people who are going to make the world. It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, it requires a bit of luck, but the mentoring is absolutely essential. And that's why it's important to what you were telling me about Lee Ritenour before, and those programs are essential for young people, especially if you want to guide them through the maze of becoming a musician. They're very important. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so is this music. I just love Long Way, Albert. I really do. And you know, it's funny when you hear a project, a new project for the first time, you have songs that immediately grab you. And I want to play something now that was the song that initially grabbed me. And it's You Make Me Smile.
It's a good one.
It is. Do you have a little story behind that song that you can tell?
Yes. I can tell you the story. The story was I wrote this song 2 years ago, and I was in the south of France, in Nice, and I met with a gypsy friend of mine. And I had this little theme, and we jammed on that theme. And then I went home and continued to develop it. And I was really thinking about him, the sun, the sea of Nice, and that's where my smile is. That You Make Me Smile.
Ah, oh, beautiful. Oh, it's come to life anew again for me. Our special guest today on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy is Albert, and this new project is Albert ITD, Long Way. The track you are going to hear is You Make Me Smile. Enjoy. delightful. Woo! I do love this work so much. And I just got to know who Albert is about a month or so ago, and I'm just so tickled. What you have just listened to is from a CD called Long Way, Albert and his amazing conglomeration of superior talent, and I'm going to get to specifics in a minute. Albert ITD, International Travel Diary. The song you heard is You Make Me Smile. Albert, I have to say, the forefront instruments there, you on that luscious guitar and Leo on piano and harmonica, it just...
Henrik Mergens.
I love Henrik. He's so awesome, and he is able to get what you are doing so much. How did you get these superlative people together for this?
So it's a bit of a hybrid story. I met with with Enya boss Matthias Winkelmann, and he became the producer of this project. And Matthias wanted me to do a project with him, and I had a band in Australia called The Travel Diary. And he said, yes, but man, we have to do it with some musicians that are international. So I really felt totally disloyal to my band, and I said, no, I can't possibly do that. He said, but man, we will have guys like Antonio Sanchez on drum. I said, yes, of course we can do it. And so we went on this journey of finding some other musicians that could complement this music. But I kept the bass player that I've been playing with for 20 years, Evropedu, and the other guys that was introduced to me by Matthias is Henrik Mergens, the harmonica player.
Yes.
I knew George Gazon from Australia because he comes there quite often. And I wasn't going to have any piano players in this album. It's just one of those things that did all the compositions, and I didn't have any piano player in mind. So I decided to just leave lots of space and put guitar accompaniment. And George was very interested as to why I was going to do that. And so he understood the conflicts that guitarists have with pianists generally. And he said, oh boy, do I have the men for you. And so he introduced me to Leo Genovese. And I have to say, when I heard Leo, it was a ball of fresh air for me. And so it was indeed a great idea of George to bring him along to this project. And so that's how we did it. Now, as far as the live stuff is concerned, because, you know, we're playing here in D.C.
Oh, yes.
Next Monday at the Blues Alley, and the band that I have with me is actually the band for the next project. I'm always a project ahead, and I have a great piano player that's Phil Turcio. He's also from Australia. He's a guy that has been playing with me also for quite a long time, and Phil is just amazing. You have also Pablo Bencid, who's a friend of Antonio Sanchez, introduced me to Pablo, also a Berklee-trained musician from Venezuela. He lives in New York. He's absolutely great. The bass player is Phil Rex, an acoustic bass player. And Henrik Mergens, of course, on harmonica. We have Henrik with us.
That's
and
wonderful.
myself on the guitar. So the rhythm section is absolutely awesome. The sound is a little bit different than this album, I have to say, but in a good way. To me, it's as I said in the opening of this interview, it's always about an evolution, and that's to me, that's the next step for me. I always look at the next step.
I have to say, Albert, I'm looking at your schedule, and you have some really wonderful dates. You just actually got finished in Tokyo a few days ago, and you're going to go to Cleveland. Then you'll be at Blues Alley. Then you'll be with us in Baltimore at what I like to call Andy Musique, just a beautiful venue on North Charles. And then you'll be in New York and then Boston at Scholars off to Miami Beach. I love this tour that you have. Somebody's taken good care of you.
Yes, and there was also Seoul in between in Korea, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, my.
We just arrived from Seoul, and it's amazing. I didn't know they like jazz so much over there, but they really do, and they're very knowledgeable. So it was a good experience there.
And you know what? Now that you've mentioned that, there was another part to, we were talking about jazz and, you know, the vision of jazz that people have or the appreciation of it. Actually, I'm so used to hearing in different circles. It's quieted down now because we all understand that people are going to have different perspectives as far as jazz is concerned. But, you know, you can imagine that in America, there are pockets of different societies that believe that there's snobbery as far as jazz is concerned because jazz was formulated in many people's minds in brothels in New Orleans and is indigenous to American culture. So the whole notion of what a person's perspective is on jazz, to me, I am so hungry for it, and I really wanted to have you on the show because when I hear your music from Long Way, it is like looking into tomorrow's picture for jazz, what it sounds like now, what it could be, what people's minds are opening up to, because there is... of course, a lot of contemporary. You yourself have said that you're contemporary. But I hear what I used to hear when I was a little girl listening to jazz. So there.
Yeah.
I hear some of the old master stuff in what you do. And you have really put together a hybrid of different kinds of jazz influences. It's just real incredible depth music. It's not frivolous at all. It's got depth. The artistry that you have around you is so wonderful. It sounds like you are having fun on every track.
Well, I'm humbled by your comments, but you're absolutely right. I'm having lots of fun, and lots of fun on the road as well.
I'll bet you are. How are the audiences treating you?
Great. Japan and Seoul were fantastic. We had Europe before that, and that was also good. And we're looking forward to our little tour in the States. I mean, it's only 7 gigs, but really looking forward to it. It's the first time I'm playing in the States, you know, and to me, it's like selling coals to Newcastle, you know, there is this expression. And it's amazing that I find people liking the music. It's fantastic, but I know that it's your culture, and I hope it's with great humility that I'm bringing your own music back to you, I hope I'm not sounding arrogant when I say that.
Oh, my God, no, not at all. It's going to be so much fun. The places that you are playing, Cleveland and Baltimore for sure, we're going to give you a lot of love here. Washington, D.C. at Blues Alley. You're going to go to Boston, Scholars, New York City. Oh, my gosh, New York's going to be a different story. But those other places are going to be absolutely on fire. New York has its own climate. Who knows how those people are going to be? I think there's going to be a lot of love no matter where you go because you can't help it. I've seen a couple of YouTube videos of you doing your thing, and it's just going to be a fascination for people in the audience. We just love here in the States, honestly. The people that I know love anybody that comes from outside of the States to play. We are wrapped up like a cocoon watching people play. It's just it's amazing to us that there is such love for what we love here. It's an awesome way to bring people together.
So it's great to be here, I promise you.
I know. I'm so glad. And I'm so grateful to Paula. please tell her thank you so much, because she and Sandy Asarvatham got together, and Sandy sent me the letter. Sandy was the one who initially turned me on to who Al Bear was, and I have the CD in my hand as I'm talking to you, and I certainly want to play another track. We played Eagle's Way. We played the one that made me smile initially, called You Make Me Smile, and I wanted to play, as we close things out, Moving On. That's your last track, and every time I talk to somebody, there's always significance about that last track on the CD.
Great.
So what is your significance?
I beg your pardon?
What is your significance? Is there a reason why Moving On is the last track on the CD?
Well, it's the title, really, that made me put it last. So it's like we played all of this, and then we move on.
Okay, that makes perfect
sense. It's a simple idea. But it's a very romantic. It's a very romantic track. And I can imagine that you would put nice candles up and have a nice dinner and put that sort of music in the background. And I will completely forgive you to have it as background music.
Well, especially when you have the track that's right before that called Love Again. Oh, my. You knew what you were doing when you put these songs together, didn't you?
I hope so.
Well, Albert, I'm going to see you in Baltimore. I'm going to see you on November 20th.
I look forward to it.
I look forward to meeting you, and I can't tell you how much I appreciated this conversation. Thank you so much.
So come and say hi on the evening, okay?
Oh,
so just approach me. Don't be shy.
Oh, no, without a doubt.
I don't think you will be.
Yes, when you see the venue, it will lend itself to intimacy. You're going to be quite fond of Andy because it's very much like a European venue.
Lovely.
Yes, lovely. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Albert.
See you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that happened. I truly, truly am. Yeah, right. Beach, my Southern California gal, just put in the chat room, Trish, shy? Yes, it has happened a time or two. Oh, Albert is something. There is so much more that we could have delved into. His business acumen is so amazing. This is a very centered gentleman. And when I say impresario, you don't usually hear that word too often. Look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls when you have a minute. He has just done so much to enhance the musical culture of Australia and has promoted so many local and regional artists in the country. I am sure that that award that he received, the Order of Australia, that's not going to be the last. This is something that, again, caught my ear from long way. International Travel Diary, ITD, the name of Albert's stellar group, in whatever combination he has it. This is called Moving on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Woohoo! This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Tomorrow's Christmas Day. The moon and I, we wonder why you're so far away. Wonder how you are tonight. Wish that you were here, sitting by the fireside at this time of year. And there's just one gift this Christmas Eve I hope for. When I make a wish upon a star, to wake up in your arms on Christmas morning, that would be the greatest gift of all. Christmas Eve and all the trees covered up in snow. I wish that you were standing here beneath the mistletoe. Christmas is the time of year to be with ones you love. You with me, a Christmas tree, an angel up above. And there's just one gift this Christmas Eve I hope for. When I make a wish upon a star, to wake up in your arms on Christmas morning, that would be the greatest gift of all.
Christmas song, but I can't help it. That's Slim Man, and that is called The Gift of Soldier's Christmas. I was thinking about soldiers because of Veterans Day, and I know that Slim has a real passion for soldiers, veterans, and thinking about them, especially as we're approaching Thanksgiving next Thursday, okay? So leave me alone. And honestly, what Albert said a little while ago about that last track on his beautiful project, which is called, again, Long Way. The last track on the CD is called Moving On, and he thinks that's terribly romantic. If you are going to get a Christmas CD this year, it's not like it's brand new. It's not. Christmas Eve, the name of Slim Man's Christmas compilation, is not new. It's a few years old. But let me tell you something. As far as romance is concerned, honey, you'll be under that tree. And it's not for Christmas presents to be unwrapped. Something might get unwrapped, but it's not a gift. Well, it could be. I'm telling you, it's really warm and fuzzy doesn't even really describe it. There is a take on Baby It's Cold Outside with a little role reversal, and Slim does that with Antonia Bennett, Tony Bennett's daughter. Woo! It's pretty sexy, as is everything he pretty much does. But this, when it comes to Christmas, and some hot chocolate and some marshmallows toasted, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, little gift giving, a little piece of jewelry in a little box. You'll want to get a hold of that Slim Man CD. The Gift, Soldiers Christmas. And SlimMan.com has information. He's laying low. He just did a nice little zoo event. And he's back in Nashville. Usually he's in Baltimore, and usually we would get the word by now that he has his regular benefit that he does at La Scala and Little Italy in Baltimore, but I haven't seen anything about that. Hopefully I will. I miss him. I do. We heard, too, from Corinthia Cromwell and her Evolution Band, Chrissy on sax, Cyrus Chestnut on piano doing Nature Boy. From Peace of Mind Outside the Lines. Man, I'll tell you what, if Nat King Cole was here, he'd really enjoy that. And I wanted to play Chrissy, Corinthia Cromwell, that's her nickname, Chrissy, and Chelsea Green both on this particular show because they're both going to be at this second annual Celebration of Life event at Murphy Fine Arts Center this coming Saturday, along with Geneva Renee and Khadija One. And more, just amazing. And it's all a celebration of life, meaning folks who have survived cancer. Man, anything that we can do to say hallelujah to that is just amazing. So where would you find information about that? There was no website dedicated to it, but if you can find Chelsea Green, and that's, again, chelseygreen.com, you'll find out more. And if you're friends with Corinthia or Chelsea or Geneva Renee on Facebook, you'll find out more, too. Yeah. And we heard, too, from Albert. Yes, moving on from Albert ITD Long Way. So nice of him to have spent time with us. So glad to know that he's doing a U.S. tour. And this is the first time. That's so exciting. It really is. Can we do more guitar? I wanted to make sure that you heard our good friend Ken Navarro. Ken did something so sweet for actually a few days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, into Monday. Ken read a story, as did I, in the Washington Post about this particular organization, Pathways to Housing. And I was reminded of that again because I saw Criminal Minds last night. And what a shock. The storyline was quite unique for this TV show. And I saw a familiar face. He played a homeless man in the show. And the face looked so familiar, and then it dawned on me who it was. Meshach Taylor from Designing Women. And my heart just turned over because we remember Meshach and how youthful he was on that show. Now, he's 65 in real life, and his voice has taken on another dimension. And, of course, for the role, he was quite haggard because he played a homeless guy, and he was particularly grisly. And it turns out that he was the troop commander for Rossi's old unit back in the day. And had fallen on hard times. And it brought to mind this article that Ken Navarro and I had read about Pathways to Housing. And this man that was the focal point of the story, who is a paranoid schizophrenic, I don't want to remember his name. I don't want to say his name. I value people's privacy. But You can find the story in the Washington Post. Petula Dvorak wrote the story. Beautiful. This man had gone through some intense hard times, had lost his family, had suffered grave emotional and physical hardship, and found a new lease on life via this organization. So Ken said that if you went to kennavarro.com last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, into Monday, and you purchased anything of his, he would have that at a sizable discount, which was just wonderful. And all the proceeds would go to Pathways to Housing. He's a great guy, Ken is. And this particular album, The Test of Time, is so wonderful because it's just Ken on guitar doing everything. We played Dwayne Allman earlier, he along with Herbie Mann on Push Push. I wanted to play Ken's take on Dwayne's Little Martha. Here he is on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Mercy. Oh, it might have been the best day for me to play this track from Lori Williams from her brand new Eclipse of the Soul CD. Her little boy at the end there. I love you, Grandma. That was a song for Lori's beloved mother, Mother Black Crow, a song that Lori wrote, and she should be very proud of writing. Just so beautiful, with the amazing saxophonist Tracy Cutler doing his thing. Oh, the chemistry these two have, just crazy. Lori was just on Cool Jazz Conversations a couple of weeks ago, and we had a splendid time. We really did. And I've been wanting to play a track from Lori, but time has not permitted it. But today might have been the perfect time for me to play that particular song, because we have been having a little discussion about moms in the chat room, and Lori doesn't have mom in the flesh anymore, and it's just one of those scenarios where she missed her so much that she wanted to have a special song to always have her. And we were actually talking this particular day on Cool Jazz Conversations about what my mom leaves behind as her calling card. Whenever my mom wants me to know that something is okay, I see a male cardinal, the bird. So it was really wild. A few weeks ago, there was a group of gals that were heading to the Carlisle Club to see Anita King for her benefit show for the musicianship. And there was something going on with me, and I said to my mom, I was talking to her, I knew she was listening, she always does. I said, Mom, let me know that everything is okay. Send me a cardinal. So I didn't see one. Usually there is one that comes to the back here at the house, or one is in the trees in the front, or I see a cardinal somewhere, no matter what season, actually. So here was what she did. As we are entering into Virginia from Maryland, there is a big billboard that says, Welcome to Virginia. And there's a cardinal on the billboard. So I thought, that's really clever. That's just Mom. And Lori has the same thing happen with her. So Mother Black Crow, and of course the crow is what she thinks of as far as her mom is concerned. It really meant a lot to write this song, and especially for Khalil at the end to say, I love you, Grandma. Oh, if you go to Lori Jazz, LoriJazz.com, you'll find out more about Lori. And this particular Lori Williams is not to be confused with the 1960s actress who was in the 1965 cult film Faster Pussycat Kill Kill. This is not the same Lori Williams. So that's why I'm trying to steer you to LoriJazz.com. Okay. And we also heard, yes, Arlington Jones on keyboard from the live, the Author and Source CD. You Gotta Believe. Had to play that song, another little thank you to God for Barack Obama's reelection. Arlington Jones played the keyboard for Wayman Tisdale, and I got to know him a little bit through Joy Hall, because Joy was always seeing Wayman Tisdale around, and he had come to Baltimore a few times, loved this area, God rest his soul. And Arlington is doing his thing, very much involved with Christian media and Christian endeavors, and making sure that he is a teacher and public speaker. Just a wonderful guy. Had him on Cool Jazz Conversations, too. Ken Navarro, Little Martha from A Test of Time, again. We are both new fans of an organization called Pathways to Housing, to get veterans off the street into housing, to get them help, to get them situated so they can have a second lease on life. So thank you to Ken for making sure he took care of that business in the past few days. God bless you, Ken. Let's hear a few more songs, shall we? Hopefully we'll have time to get to these. Yeah, you know what? I just might eliminate the middleman and go right to the chase. I'll forget about a song right now and get to Tony Bunn, because Tony's birthday is coming up in the next few days. And I wanted to make sure that we played Small World, because Daddy's world is getting smaller all the time. Oh, if you knew about Tony Bunn's life, woohoo! Don't ever think that you have an interesting life, because Tony has got one better than you. Seriously, this is one of the bass masters that we know, our good friend Tony Bunn, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. some folks would tell you that the Imagine Project is one of their favorite, if not their favorite, albums from 2 years ago. Herbie Hancock, such a master, not only at the keyboard, but also in putting people together that no other person would think to put together. Who would have ever thought to match up Jeff Beck with John Legend and Pink? Honestly, who would have thought that? But the result is just so staggering. Oh my gosh. I could cry. That song was written by Peter Gabriel and originally done by him and Kate Bush. Just very well received. It's just one of those personal songs that if you like it, you really do like it, because it's the man being despondent and lonely and hopeless, and the woman saying, don't, you've worked so hard to get to where you are, don't give up. And Pink, who knew that she had such depth in her? I really like Pink because she's a Philly girl, but, you know, I can't gravitate to her pop stuff. But when she did this with John Legend and Herbie Hancock playing piano and Jeff Beck on guitar, it just rocked my world. And the rest of the CD is just so amazing. And it not only was audio, but Herbie implemented some documentary footage of it as well. So if you get a chance, look it up, and you'll be thrilled, because Susan Tedeschi is on the CD, and there is footage of her on YouTube, and Derek Trucks, and the influences of Herbie when he heard Irish music and African persuasions in the CD. It's just so all-encompassing that it's refreshing. God, he's such a master. Albert was talking before about Miles Davis and reinventing himself over and over and staying fresh, and Herbie Hancock has done the same thing, and he has done it for other people too. So we have a lot to be grateful for in the way of that talent. Tony Bunn, I said it was Small World. It was not. It was the Paul Soroka song, Palermo, my favorite track from Small World. Tony Bunn spending half of his time in Denmark, half of his time in America. As I was telling Matt, thank you for joining us today, Matt. Just so wonderful to see Tony Bunn's little girl, Nikki, when you see pictures of her. It's just so amazing that somebody so small can have such worldly wisdom in their face. When she looks at you dead on. She's amazing, so beautiful. Ah, Tony Bunn. Happy birthday, Tony. Love you with my heart. You're one of my favorite people on this planet. And there will be news from Tony Bunn next time I talk to him. I know, and I'll share that with you. But I wanted to share that music. Isn't that beautiful? Palermo. Thank you, Paul, for that song. Listen, it's going to be a weird but remainder of November. There is a show next Tuesday, Odine Pope and Chuck Loeb. Yeah, there is no show on Thanksgiving, and then the next week it's going to be Daniel Bennett, multi-instrumentalist, and Dan Cipriano on saxophone. So we'll have a couple of guests each time. And from there after, we don't know exactly what to say. I think that Hybrid Jazz will be on at the same time, but we'll have to keep a bookmark on that thought. Thank you to Beach and to Matt and for our guest who will remain nameless today. It's been a wonderful show. Thank you to Albert. And Albert has a website, and I believe he's got a couple of different ones, but Albert, let me see, .com. Let me just check to see if I can find it for you. I have 90 seconds. Let's see. Albert, I should have told you that earlier. But let me just check. We have time. Albert. And yes, A-L-B-A-R-E info, actually, or you can go to .com and you'll find the same thing. Thank you again for all your time today. It's been a hoot and a holler, and as a matter of fact, Matt just said, woohoo! Our chat room is so fabulous, and we'll see you on Tuesday with Chuck Loeb talking about foreplay and Odine Pope talking about his legendary career. God bless you all. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend, and be safe.